This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Tan Chung Han and Brian Fernandez with the top business stories of the day. Let's begin with a look at the auto sector. Sales of new vehicles are expected to remain below the psychologically important 600,000 mark.
Yeah, so according to Trade and Industry Minister Dato Sri Mustafa Mohamad, total industry volume will be 591,000 in 2018. Now that's just growth of just under 2% compared to 2017 projectors' numbers. However, that number is different. Frost and Sullivan predicts that, in fact, the total industry volume would be 601,000 in 2018. We've got to wait and see next week, I think, when the Malaysian Automotive Association will release the 2017 official full year sales and production data.
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind that the MITI minister's projections are based on last year's projections. So it's projections based on projections. So we've got to wait for MAA's official data, hopefully next week. But also that 600,000 mark is psychologically important because we have actually fallen below that mark for the last couple of years or so. So we'll see whether there's a rebound this year.
We're 2 years out from the 2020 goal set under the National Automotive Policy, or NAP. Apparently, the NAP will be revised as well.
Yeah, so again, Dato' Sri Mustafa is expected to announce the revised NAP. Again, that's National Automotive Policy in the middle of this year. Because under the previous NAP back in 2014, there were some slippages there as well, okay? So key targets were 1 million cars TIV by 2020, okay? We are way off. We're only expecting, 2018's TIV to be about, 600,000 or so, and we are a couple of years out, right? Look at production. Production volume, 1.35 million units per year. That's the goal for 2020. And we are way off. 2018's projected TPV is about 535,000.
Yeah, so we're even way off on the export side. So exports were supposed to be projected to be around 250,000 units per year. We're way off. 2018 projected exports are only 34,000, so way down.
I wonder if Proton's recently announced discounts to the Federation of Hokkien Associations of Malaysia, if that will substantially boost vehicle sales, perhaps in places where there are a concentration of people from the Fujian province. Penang? Where people are Hokkien descent?
Well, mainly Penang, Klang, and then a smattering few.
Oh,
like
Klang
Johor.
Too. Where are you from?
Yeah, okay. Of course. Dude, okay. How dare you? And how do you not know that?
Coastal regions.
Coastal. Yeah, a smattering in Johor, Ipoh around there as well. Yeah, but primarily Penang and Klang. Although I dare.
Was this Proton being slightly tone deaf? I mean, offering the guild members.
You know, people are reading too much into this because essentially, if you go to any of these auto companies, they do give fleet discounts or bulk discounts if you're an association, you're a company, and so forth. So, I think this particular instance has been played up.
So, okay, so it's not just Fujian people, but also Hakka Cantonese people.
It could be the contractors association.
People from Yunnan association.
Yeah, well, but the difference here is that, okay, for example, even us, the media personnel, we apparently get some discounts from Proton as well, but the distinction here is that this is based on race, well, not even race, a particular province. So there might be hints of some maybe affirmative action, if you're going to call it that.
Action for Hokkien people.
Yeah, for Hokkien people. But look, so at this point, I want to give a special message to our Hokkien speaking listeners with my limited Hokkien. Okay, here we go. Pengyue. Wah, kalau kong, Proton hala 2% 10% discount. Kalbo. What meng lu ah gao bo, okay? Wa ai zai lai bui mai, okay? Lai bui le lu gao wa gong.
So what does that mean?
Lai sai WhatsApp, lai sai WhatsApp wa, okay? Kong yi bui, chit bui gao, bui bui gao gao. So again, that's kong yi bui, chit bui gao, bui bui gao gao.
Okay, I want to translate that. That's it. If you have an opinion on this, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. For be part of this conversation.
Tio. Should I look on here, Tio? Okay, moving on.
Okay. Now, we move to a story with some of our favorite acronyms. EPF, of course, a Malaysian acronym. PNB. They're both looking to buy a stake in the Battersea Power Station project in the UK for 8.8 billion ringgit. The deal is being labelled as an ownership reorganisation.
Yeah, so this can be seen as really a right-hand, left-hand deal because PNB, after all, is a major shareholder in Sime Darby as well as SP Satir. Both of them are part of a consortium that already owns Battersea. So to recap, SP Satir and Sime Darby each have 40% stake in the project. EPF owns the remaining 20%.
All right, so here's the backstory, okay? Back in 2012, you had Battersea that was acquired by this consortium, again, SP Satir, Sime Darby, EPF, and it cost them £400 million back then. Here's a fun factoid for you. Back then, they beat out 9 other bids, including a bid from Sherrod's favorite football club, Chelsea.
Now, what is the football club wanting to buy an old...
You ask your
station.
Club, how do I know? Anyways, well, it looks like Chelsea can't buy their way into everything. Hey.
Yeah, so Battersea is an iconic power station, and it's it was featured in a 1977 cover of Pink Floyd's album Animals. And as part of this regeneration project, Apple's new UK headquarters will be based in that development.
Yeah, so again, just to recap today's news, yesterday's news. You got PNB, EPF wanting to buy the commercial assets of phase 2 of the development. They are phases 1 through 7. One's pretty much done already. You got 7 that's slated to complete by about 2028 or so. This phase 2 slated to be completed by 2020. That includes the office space leased by Apple, about 500,000 square feet of that. You got apartments, leisure facilities, stores, etc.
Okay, just we have a tweet coming in from Bobby Wong. He asks, why do all Hokkien words sound like swear words? And I don't know if we want to answer this right now. Okay, so...
losing stuff.
Okay, I want to come back to the question of this need for ownership reorganization. Is that a term that they use in the industry? Or is it just what it sounds like?
Well, from a press release from Sime Darby, they pointed out that PNB and EPF are long-term investors. SP Satir and Sime Darby are just principal investors. So they say that the transaction will give Sime Darby and SP Satir increased certainty of an investment return earlier than otherwise would be the case. Because after all, guys, remember, with the certain... this project has a certainty of returns. EPF has been looking to invest in long-term assets. And with that leasing of the Apple space, that gives them certainty over a long runway.
Well, certainty over returns, maybe broadly speaking, yeah, but we'll get into that in just a bit. We also got to keep in mind, okay, these large funds, be it PNB, EPF, Co-op, etc., they have been clamoring to move their money abroad, so they can, generally speaking, chase better returns there. Here in Malaysia, it's quite saturated, limited growth versus what we're seeing out there, okay? Now, we have got some analysts' reports in already, and they pretty much agree, from Kenanga, Maybank, TA Securities, they all agree this move will free up cash for SP Satir and Sime Darby to then plow into the other phases, say phases 3 to 7.
Yeah, but Han, the return on this project has essentially dropped tremendously. In fact, it's less than half. So according to the filings made to the council in March 2017, the initial return target for the project was about 20%.
Right.
Well, in fact, more than 20%. It got reduced now to about 8%. So the reason for this lower return, really, it's just a cost escalation.
Yeah, so going back to what you're saying, Brian, yeah, broadly speaking, sure, when it comes to these kind of properties, you got Apple being one of the anchor tenants there, great. Broadly speaking, you might get some kind of stability in returns. But as you pointed out, the target return rate has actually dropped from 20% down to less than half.
We might want to mention why the cost has escalated. And this is apparently due to the question of asbestos in the original building and the need to remove it because asbestos is seen as a carcinogen, it's cancer-causing and such.
Yeah, it is an old building from 1933, right? And now on top of the asbestos risk, there's also, say, work to restore the chimneys, that's additional piling and foundation that needs to be made. So according to the filings made to that local council, SP Satir and Sime Darby, or the developers, were aware of this, and that is giving rise to the cost pressures.
There's also the issue of the wider economic uncertainty. Now that could also dampen demand for the more expensive homes. With London property prices now really going south rather than northward. And then there's increased risk, of course, of Brexit.
Okay, let's move on to another kind of hot button issue. Khazanah's recovery plan for Malaysian Airlines, it's said to be slightly behind schedule. I guess slightly is a relative term. Recall that Khazanah is the sole shareholder of Malaysian Airlines. They say Malaysian Airlines is now expected to break even by the first half of next year versus the initial target of 2018, this year, right? So that's 2019. It's been pushed back. We have a Khazanah MD, Tan Sri Azman Mokhtar, explaining the reasons behind this delay.
It's probably fair to say it's slightly behind, but bear in mind there are many factors. For example, if you look at the currency impact, we probably lost about 6 months to 12 months. I think we're quite confident, inshallah, it's in the right direction. Certain things you can't control, whether currency or oil price or indeed competition. We were hoping by 17, but we did say also it's really the key number is 19 at the point at the end of that period.
That was Khazanah MD Tan Sri Azman Mokhtar.
All right, keep in mind that the ringgit has declined by over 25% from August 2014. That's when Khazanah announced that 12-point recovery plan for Malaysia Airlines, you know, until now. Okay, so back then, August 29th, 2014, ringgit 3.15 against the US dollar. Oh, the good old days. Right now, I'm looking at live prices. Ringgit now below 3.95, now at about 3.94 against the US dollar. You know, still, that is a substantial decline in the ringgit, obviously affecting Malaysia Airlines' turnaround plan.
But guys, the currency movements and especially oil prices also translates into increasing costs for Malaysian Airlines. So according to Captain Izam, the Malaysian Airlines CEO, a 10 cent rise in the US dollar impacts Malaysian Airlines by 100 million ringgit. Now, an increase in $1 in fuel costs for will translate to 50 million ringgit increase in costs for Malaysian Airlines. So those are really substantial numbers if you have to work with that.
Han, could you give us a quick recap of the 12-point turnaround plan for Malaysian Airlines?
I'll do you one better. I'll give you a recap and then point out some slippages as well. Okay, so if you recap the turnaround plan, okay, you had several moving of these goalposts. So fine, end of 2014, they delisted MAS. That went ahead, fine. On July 1st, 2015, the formal transition to NewCo, that was supposed to take place. NewCo didn't become operational until September 1st, 2015. So they missed that marker. By end 2017, 3 years from delisting, NewCo is supposed to achieve profitability. Here we are, 2018, NewCo, Malaysia Airlines, still not yet sustainably profitable. So now we've got comments from Khazanah saying that that will push back the relisting of Malaysia Airlines as well.
Yeah, so the initial target for relisting was 2019. We now know there's going to be slippage on that as well. But to be fair to Malaysian Airlines, guys, you know, the whole aviation industry has been hit by global factors. Even regional heavyweights like Cathay Pacific and Singapore Airlines have seen very poor results in the recent years.
True.
Okay. We're coming up to the top of the hour. We'll have the bulletin and we'll be back with a look at the stock market and the opening numbers. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.